Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And ultimately, someday, my friend, you and I are going to be able to stand before Him. And ultimately, what we all want to hear is Matthew 25, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We talked about God being the creator, He's the owner, we're personal managers, and so whether saved or unsaved, we're going to give accounting of what we have to God. We then led to the fact that we are managers, and we're managers not just of the things we have, but also God's Word. And then we talked about that the hope of reward is real. I want to talk about the area of rewards, because in our minds, it's very difficult to grasp the concept of this in relationship to what it was in the days in which the Scriptures were written. We have a hard time grasping onto this. I want you to leave you with a very simple thought that the gains for Christ are coming from your giving to Christ. What do you get in return for that? I use the illustration of depositing and getting 100-fold back. What do you end up getting? The Bible uses the idea of rewards. So I just want to very simply, very quickly, walk through three basic questions. I might add one in there. And one of those is, what in the world is a crown? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians 9, 25, in a sports setting. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly," and I'm reading verse 26, "so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, what we're going to get is in verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery, for the goal, for the tape, is temperate. They're self-controlled in all things. And he says, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible," take something physical and now makes it to spiritual application. And he's saying, you at Corinth, you're going to end up getting rewards. Now, if you understand that, let me move very simply to the idea of types of crowns. What does the Bible say about it? This particular crown, 1 Corinthians 9, is the incorruptible crown. And the Bible does give very simply three very specific crowns that he mentions. Let me give them to you. One of them is the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. I'm not going to take time to expand on all these. Now, a second crown also the Bible talks about is the crown of life, in James 1:12. The third crown that you see in Scripture is not just the crown of righteousness and a crown of life, but a crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says it this way, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he'll receive a crown of glory that fades not away." That's what they call a shepherd's crown. It's given for faithful representation of Christ in a position of spiritual leadership. It's a hard thing for us to grab onto, but maybe what we can do is make some definitions, because ultimately, what are we going to do with those crowns? Turn to Revelation 4 as we close verses 10 through 11, because I think this sums up, and I'd like to finish on this note and this whole thing on stewardship. And ultimately, what I'm trying to do in this is to motivate you to realize that what you're doing and you're living for God now is going to pay off great rewards. And it's not selfish for you to end up saying, "Well, okay, I'm doing all these things." It's not mixed motives. It's multiple motives. You know what Paul said, remember? "Hey, I want the smile of God. But I also have the hope of reward that someday I'm going to end up getting these crowns. What am I going to do with these crowns?" And notice what he says, it's genuinely his children. And he mentions verse 5 about the throne, and around about that throne, there were also those 24 elders sitting, representing us. And in addition, that were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. It was a comprehensive knowledge. And these beasts that John says documents was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And these four beasts, each of them had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, but they were 24/7 saying, Holy, 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 a thrice holy God, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And those beasts were giving glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lived forever. And this image in which we, listen, child of God, you, if you're a child of God, you will be here. And we now, who spent our time and energy, however short or long in this earth, whether it's 8 minutes or 80 years, that whatever you have done in that particular time, you're standing before the very throne of God, and it is so unbelievably difficult to describe that John is at really, in essence, a loss for words, but he's documenting according to the Spirit of God. And here you have these beasts that are representing the cherubim. They are shouting out, holy, holy, holy. They are flying with six wings. You want to think that there is incredible, unbelievable events happening in heaven. That's just one of them. And here we're now, and they are crying out, holy, I'm giving you the worship you deserve. It's Christ. And then ultimately, he says with this in verse 10, the 24 elders, they fell down before him, Christ, that sat on that throne, and they worshiped him that lived forever and ever. And what did they do? They did with their thrones. What are we going to do? They're going to cast them at Christ's feet. No, you're not going to take off your laurels. You're not going to be taking off those crowns. Whether that's the 24 elders that are symbolically casting down their thrones. Remember, thrones represent honor and authority. We, in our limited authority and our honor and the limited way we'll be able to give to Christ as he's given to us, we're taking all of that, our authority, and saying, God, it is nothing compared to what you have. And what little I have done on this earth, I'm giving this all to you because you are worthy. And with those four beasts, and the elders, and we are gathered together, and all of us in humanity that has turned our hearts to Christ are crying out to God, worthy is the Lamb. It's a powerful illustration and an event that's going to take place in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for the pleasure they were created. You know what he's saying? As one author said, I think it's so true, that we are offering our honor and our service that we gave to God. It's not just a reward. It's our service to say, God, this is yours. And it was while we were doing this on earth that now we're going to get to do it in heaven. I like what one author said it this way. This idea is kind of foreign to people who dislike their work. When they get thinking, I've got to work in heaven. Fact is, if you bump ahead a couple of chapters in Revelation 7, 14, and 15, it says they're going to serve God and serve him day and night before the very throne of God. That's talking about, by the way, about the tribulation saints, but it's recognizing us. You know what we're going to do? We're going to be serving God for the rest of our eternity. People think, well, heaven, you know, what a wonderful place. I'm going to sit on clouds and it's going to be like puffy cotton candy and I'm going to play harps and, you know, pretty much be bored. When the reality is, the whole picture is we're going to be worshiping God through our service. And it's going to be not much different than the fact now in heaven we have our glorified bodies, re-energized health and strength, a sharpened mind, endless energy to say, God, you created us for work as you did on this earth. It was sin-filled now and corrupt. You knew it before the foundations of the world that was going to happen because ultimately you knew you were going to redeem our new heaven and new earth. And over those days and into eternity, we're going to be able to serve him through our service forever and ever and ever. You say, well, how are we going to know that's going to happen? Paul said that eternal rewards were available not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. The Lord's going to reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether as slave or free, Ephesians 6:8. This author said, should we be excited that God would reward us by making us rulers in his kingdom? Jesus said it this way, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, Matthew 5:12. I like what he says, that blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And ultimately, someday, my friend, you and I, as Christians, as God's children, are going to be able to stand before him. And ultimately, what we all want to hear is Matthew 25, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Everything you have been doing on this earth, it doesn't matter about your vocation. He's not talking about full-time Christians, my friend. He's talking about full-time children of God. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. It doesn't matter what job you have or lack thereof. He is giving you opportunity to show your stewardship so someday you stand before Him. All of that work and energy and time you're going to cast before Him, because really, ultimately, you are the one that are honored with whatever crowns may be. This, because this is the same Jesus that had that crown of thorns placed on His head as the Lamb. And ultimately, someday, we will stand before God and all of this earth ultimately will be uncreated, Revelation 20 to 22. And we will look on this particular time in such a quick way. And as I mentioned before, all of those things that we have done for Him will seem incredibly smart. And all the things that we do in our own small fleshly way that only creates, as a child of God, shame and guilt and fear, became so incredibly stupid. What was I thinking? Some small pleasure? Some small trinket that I wanted, that I spent my time and energy trying to get because I wanted to have some small fulfillment? And that's why I say to you, my friend, that when we end up putting out to hear, God, this is what we have coming in another world, makes this world and the time you have and the choices you have now so much more important for you to realize what I'm doing. I'm going to put all I can into that deposit for eternity. Because ultimately, our worship to Him comes through our work and our time and our effort. I wish I could end up being as prolific as someone as John Bunyan, but I think he said it right. But he made this statement, when we are submitting our eternal work and honor to His ultimate worship and glory. But John Bunyan made this statement, whatever good thing you do for Him, if done according to the word, is laid up for you as treasure in chests and coffers, to be brought out, to be rewarded before both men and angels, to your eternal comfort. Look around you and you see the meek and the humble. They're the people that you think, what do they have to offer? And God says, that's a premium, my friend. Because we, all of us, are so lacking. And that's why Christ, who didn't just say, you just follow my example, but I will enable you to live a life that's pleasing in my sight. I deposited into you, not a temple made of hands, but your body, the Spirit of God, to prompt you to righteousness. Because, my friend, the older you get, you talk to people who've been saved for a long time, like I talked to my father on the phone. And I got talking about these rewards and these crowns. He says, you know, Mark, I really don't care about those crowns. I just want to see my Savior's face. I said, I know, Dad. But all of those activities that you do become your honor to give to God someday. And we will be there, my friend. And all of this world that you live for now will so fade away. People you love have gone on before you. You say, what about those people that never turned to Christ? God will have His sovereign way of wiping every tear and every sorrow and allowing you to enjoy the compensation if you do it unto Him. It's a great way to live. It really is.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.